one of the most influential musicians of the 20th century, died 20 years ago today. Jamaican singer and songwriter Bob Marley burst onto the international music scene in 1972, the release of the album Catch a Fire. Marley influenced musicians from San Francisco to South Africa. His songs have been performed by everyone from Eric Clapton to Barbra Streisand. His music touched young white suburbanites and people living in third world slums. He was honored by the United Nations and the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences. NPR's Tom Cole reports on Marley's legacy.
It would be hard to overstate the impact Bob Marley had. He was more than a musician, says Timothy White, editor-in-chief of Billboard magazine and author of the biography Catch a Fire, The Life of Bob Marley.
Bob Marley was a reporter of a change. And in the bravery of that reporting, he transformed how poor people saw themselves in the modern world. And since poor people are most of the world, it had an enormous impact and still does.
No chains around my feet, but I'm not free.
Marley reported on the world in which he grew up, the slums of Kingston, Jamaica. Herbie Miller is a cultural historian and former manager for Marley's bandmate, Peter Tosh.
Marley was exposed to a sort of life which was hard, which was rough, yet at the same time, not without love and compassion and care. So Marley was able to pull on that sensibility to express himself in his songs, songs like Simmer Down, which was his first big hit, is talking about that sort of resistance to the pressures that disenfranchised youth are feeling.
Bob Marley had a number of hits in Jamaica, and by 1972 had been playing for almost a decade with Peter Tosh and Bunny Livingston in a band they eventually dubbed the Wailers. Producer Chris Blackwell first met them in London that year and remembers that they had a clear idea about who they were and what they wanted their music to say. Blackwell, then head of Island Records, offered them a £4,000 advance to go back to Jamaica and record an album. His colleagues told him he'd never see a record. A few months later, Blackwell went to Jamaica.
And I was completely astounded as to how good they were. You could hear that all the money I had given them had really gone into that recording. There was no question about that. It was actually one of the most rewarding moments of my life in the music business.
Producer Chris Blackwell marketed the Wailers almost as he would a black rock band. But the message in Marley's music was not just one of resistance and rebellion. He seemed to understand that he had a responsibility to guide his listeners in a positive direction, and this too broadened his appeal. He's remembered as a serious child, the son of a black mother and a white father who abandoned them. He was taunted by both blacks and whites for being mixed race, and tolerance and understanding became recurring themes in his music. Reggae star Marcia Griffiths was one of Marley's backup singers, the I-3s, in the 1970s.
He's the one who taught me the seriousness of the music, that is not just entertaining people. It goes much deeper than that. He sent message to uplift the world, you know, to teach and to educate.
That view of the artist's role in society and Bob Marley's ability to float a serious message over a danceable beat continues to draw fans and inspire musicians. Michael Franti co-founded Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy and now leads a band called Spearhead.
So many times people turn their backs to you, 'cause they don't wanna see what's inside of you. 'Cause looking inside of you, they might realize there's something inside of them they might not wanna find. But it ain't about who you love. No, see, it's all about do you love, do you love, do you love.
Michael Franti first heard Bob Marley on the radio in Canada when Franti was 13 years old.
He wrote songs that were enraging, enlightening, and inspiring all at the same time. And even if you didn't want to hear the lyrics, you were just seduced into the groove. Then when you heard the lyrics, you began to realize that he was talking about more than just reggae music or more than just Jamaica. He was talking about the world and the ultimate concept of one love, of finding peace in your heart.
Hear the children crying.
Bob Marley still casts a long shadow over Jamaica, but the music scene there has changed. Roger Steffens is the founding editor of Beat Magazine, chairman of the Reggae Grammy Committee, and curator of an exhibition about Marley and reggae now on view in Long Beach, California.
The change in the music was immediate, abrupt, and startling. In the aftermath of Bob's passing, the biggest star in the music was a salacious, foul-mouthed rapper named Yellow Man, who was misogynistic and homophobic, and that led to a great deal of slackness coming into the music and the triumph of what they call the dancehall style of music.
Today, the biggest selling singer from Jamaica, besides Marley, is Shaggy.
They call me Mr. Baby, can I do my thing? Girl, I love the vibe you bring. Open up and let me in.
The message hasn't disappeared from Jamaican music. Garth White, research fellow at the Reggae Studies Unit of the University of the West Indies, says it's just been lost in a wave of activity. There are simply a lot more people making records these days.
In the early days, the percentage of social commentary, what we call truth and right songs, would have seemed to be dominant. What has happened is that output has increased to such an extent that it is now but one strand in a garment that's woven of many strands.
We're crying for freedom for all mankind. We don't care about color, racism is not our style. We're fighting for a better world for the young boys and girls. This is our contribution towards a better world. Somebody sing freedom.
Outside of Jamaica, Bob Marley's ability to give a voice to the underclass still strikes a chord. Spearhead's Michael Fronte says he hears it wherever he tours.
And in America, they keep telling us that the king of rock and roll is Elvis, but I think that the king of music around the world is Bob Marley, because I see him everywhere.
Archivist and editor Roger Steffens tells the story of a scholar visiting Tibet. He sought out an old monk who took the scholar to his chamber.
And there was an electric outlet in there into which he had a hot plate and a 25-watt bulb and an 8-track tape recorder, and inside the tape recorder was a Lebanese 8-track bootleg of Natty Dread.
Good friends we have, oh, good friends we have lost along the way, yeah. In this great future, you can't forget your past, so dry your tears, I say.
Bob Marley died of cancer on May 11th, 1981 in Miami. He was 36 years old. Tom Cole, NPR News, Washington.